College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
We got a lot of good things to get to on the show today, of course. Joe Biden yesterday just has more snafus in public. And also the depths to which Democrats have had to resort to over the last 24 to 48 hours. We will get to that coming up in the Big Take. Also, live by DEI and die by DEI. Kamala Harris now ready to play the race card, the sexism card, all of the nonsense about possibly being replaced and being the victim. Also, Newsweek with an absurd argument on behalf of Kamala Harris by Tim Ryan. We're going to get to that this morning as well. Bill Maher has decided to endorse somebody other than Joe Biden. And I think we need to take Bill to task as a man who despises all the left-wing ideology and the woke nonsense out there. Don't know how Bill can arrive at this endorsement and this conclusion, but we will get to that. And of course, we have a Trump sentencing delay that's going to be pushed back until mid-September. We'll get to all of that this morning. And once again, another absolutely stacked and loaded cut sheet, as that is coming up at 7:45. And of course, it is the first Wednesday of the month, and here on Kale and Company, we always highlight our veterans. It's our 1210 WPHT Veteran Spotlight. That is coming up at 9:30 this morning, presented by the great folks at Window Nation. So we'll have a fun show today, and once again, the stories that are out there are just coming in fast and furious. I mean, what a week it's been. Really, what a entire last 10 days it has been, and we will break it down again this morning. But before we get to all of that, let's get to the news. Round number one at 6:05. The great Dawn Stensland.
Sponsored by Discover Lancaster. Yes, this Wednesday morning, July 3rd, a 14-year-old girl injured in a shooting in Pottstown, Pennsylvania. This happened last night. The Pottstown Police Department confirming this, saying that they had responded to Myrtle Street. This is in the Bright Hope community, for a report of some kind of fight involving teenage girls when shots were fired. Officers say they found the 14-year-old girl with a gunshot wound to her chest. So they treated her at the scene, quickly rushed her to a local trauma center, to the hospital. And that's from police. This girl is fighting for her life. That's the latest from the suburbs of Pottstown in our region. A Gloucester Township police officer, this is South Jersey, arrested and charged for a hit and run involving a bicyclist in Gloucester Township. He is identified as 28-year-old Christopher Bucciaroni, 9-year veteran of the police department, ID'd as the driver who was involved in that hit and run that resulted in very serious injuries. He's now charged with third degree, knowingly leaving the scene of a motor vehicle accident, resulting in serious bodily injury. This happened about 2:30 in the morning, June 20th. Initially, what happened was this bicyclist, 18-year-old young man on his bicycle, was struck, and he now is in critical condition. So they knew that this was a dark-colored SUV that struck the 18-year-old and failed to stop. And the victim, like I say, remains in very critical condition this morning in the hospital. The police say the officer was off duty at the time. That SUV, his own personal vehicle, he turned himself in the next day. So he is suspended without pay with intent to dismiss. The union that represents thousands of Philadelphia City employees asking a judge yesterday to block Mayor Sherelle Parker's requirement that they all return to their offices full-time in person by July 15th.
I saw this. You got to be kidding me. Like, I mean, you know, I give Sherelle Parker credit for the, hey, enough of whatever's been going on for umpteen years now. It's time to get back to work. Like, I hope this is just something that just fails and we can sit there and say, you know what? Yes, common sense and logic says
get your butt out of your house, get in the car, get in traffic, get ticked off, sit through congestion, and go back to work. Socialize with other human beings, people.
Yeah, and these are thousands of employees, union presidents of Local 2186 and 2187, speaking out, stating that, yes, they filed the lawsuit. They disagree with the process by which the mayor is ordering people back to work, saying that this all needs to be negotiated because they're saying that some people who were hired, and this is the new norm, this is the new way of life. So if you want them to go back to in-person working, and this is more than 6,000 administrative and supervisory jobs, by the way, they say you got to pay a little more.
Well, I mean, look, you know, everybody take their shot, shoot your shot. I get it. So this is not like a fear of COVID thing or anything like that. This is more of a, this is what I signed up for. And now you have to factor in my expense of traveling, I'm assuming.
Well, it's just show me the money.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They want their. So under this all started, obviously, under previous Mayor Jim Kenney. That was the virtual work policy in place for 3 years at this point. 3 years. And Mayor Parker had announced, you may recall, back in May, that everybody's got to return to in-person pre-pandemic, and that, no, this is the norm. People were allowed something due to the pandemic and emergency, so this is the back and forth they face.
You give them an inch, Dawn, and they take a mile.
Take the whole thing.
Take the whole thing, right, Sean?
There are
they're just like the left. That's what the left does.
Yep.
That's what the left does. I don't know if we're dealing with leftists here, but that's what they do.
Yeah.
Give them one little tiny bit and they take the whole thing.
That's correct.
That's why we give them nothing.
Yes.
You know what they say? You'll own nothing and be happy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
We give you nothing. No.
Well,
quarter.
I just have to wonder, to your point, should all those workers, thousands of people, you know, firefighters, cops, the sanitation workers, a ton of workers could not be virtual all this time. Maybe they're the ones who should get more money.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Amen to that.
If anybody's going to make more. This is a sad story that, you know, to report this morning. One of our colleagues, longtime Philadelphia sports radio host Howard Eskin, suspended from Citizens Bank Park for the rest of the Philly season for what is being called and identified as an unwelcomed kiss toward an Aramark employee. 73-year-old Eskin, host, of course, on our sibling station, 94 WIP Sports Radio, and Odyssey is the parent company of the station and ours as well. So they're talking about this, an unwelcome kiss by Eskin toward an Aramark employee at Citizens Bank Park, saying that we take these matters very seriously. We immediately investigated, took action to address the matter. That's the statement from Odyssey. So apparently Odyssey, Aramark, and the Philadelphia Phillies working on this, and the Phillies, they were all releasing different statements. This does not appear any kind of, this is not any kind of a police investigation. I don't have anything except the company statements. I do not have a statement from Eskin himself.
Yeah, I've always been consistent with this, whether it's political, Democrat, Republican, whether it's professional, personal, whether it's somebody I've worked with, somebody I know, somebody I've worked with and like, somebody I've worked with and do not like, you know, whether it's in the criminal justice system or in the court of public opinion. The rush to judgment is astounding to me, and I just wish people would wait for all the facts to come out, because we've seen two specific cases in the last couple of years, just in the sports arena, so to speak. Remember the Bills punter, Matt Araiza, was accused of something. They smeared him. Ultimately, we find out it's not true. And, Sean, I know you're a big baseball guy. The same thing with Trevor Bauer.
Don't get me started what they're doing to Bauer, man. Listen, you go on to Trevor's Twitter, okay, and you search his account. You find out that he made a couple of posts that were pretty pro-Trump back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't think that's playing a role here, then you're not paying attention to how the left operates. I'm not saying it's purely political.
Right.
I understand there are rumors about Bauer, and is he a good teammate? And sometimes he does the thing with the sword. He kind of shows people up, but he's, you know, he said, if you're going to give it back to me, give it back to me. I'll take it like a man. There's no reason why he shouldn't be pitching in MLB right now, especially since his accusers now are being criminally investigated. So I think what's happening to Bauer is 1,000 times worse than what happened to Colin Kaepernick, because Bauer still has ability and Kaepernick doesn't, right?
Yep.
When he was quote unquote blackballed from the NFL, he had had two dismal seasons and it was only getting worse. Bauer has been suspended and out of MLB at the top of his game. He's killing it in Mexico right now. The guy should be in MLB.
Yeah.
Definitely. You telling me he can't help somebody? He can definitely help somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens with Howard. I mean, if he did what he's accused of doing, I'm sure he'll be dealt with accordingly. And if this is not true, then I hope he gets vindicated. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Phils beat the Cubs 6-4, and Michael Mercado certainly did not look like a rookie. 25-year-old Mercado holding the Cubs to one run, two hits in five innings, and, of course, got some help from Trey Turner, who hit two home runs. Zach Wheeler is on the mound tonight at Wrigley Field, 8:05 game tonight.
Okay. Let's go Phils.
Let's I won't talk to I mean, I know you're gonna talk about Trump, politics, Biden. I will simply say that remember the NEA Teachers Union, their convention is here in Philadelphia, which is why President Joe Biden will be here in Philadelphia Sunday to greet those teachers and have a speech to the Teachers Union meeting here in Philadelphia. As far as Pennsylvania Democrats, Governor Josh Shapiro, Senator Casey, and Senator Fetterman all speaking out backing Joe Biden. And Nick is going to talk about the latest with that. Forecast real quick for you today. Enjoy the weather. 86 degrees today. The last of this lower humidity, refreshing breezes, because tomorrow the heat is on. We are looking at 91 degrees for your July 4th holiday. And yes, unfortunately, we could see some passing storms, drenching rain. So you want to watch that as far as the storms moving through. And then the next day, even though Friday, we're looking at 91 degrees and much of the same pattern. Saturday, however, we could see drenching rain come through on Saturday. Now, look, this is this forecast for the Philadelphia, South Jersey region. It's ever changing. So I always say this, especially a couple days out, don't change your plans, because what happens here in Philadelphia might not be the forecast in South Jersey, for example, or the Poconos. So we want to watch this, but certainly we're in for heat, high humidity, and then the passing showers, at least for the next couple of days. But you know, we are sponsored by Discover Lancaster. So discover more of Lancaster this week. Head to Lancaster County, enjoy the fresh air, learn about the Amish culture. Just a 90-minute drive from Philadelphia. Visit discoverlancaster.com. Plan your getaway. Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:15 on this Wednesday morning. Let's get to another Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, the Big Take this morning, Joe Biden's week from hell and the Democrats' demise. If it were a hurricane, I think it would be deemed a Category 5 because catastrophic damage has occurred. If it were nuclear war, it would be classified as DEFCON 1, which is the highest threat level in the U.S. military's ranking system. And when it pertains to Joe Biden and the Democrats, it's not hyperbole. It is reality. The fear has set in. And what's ironic about it is it's usually the Democrats that drum up fear as a way of vilifying Republicans and winning over voters. Now it's the Democrats that are genuinely fearful of the dire straits they find themselves in with 124 days until the election. For years, the left has told you and mainstream media has denied that Joe Biden is expiring like a moldy loaf of bread on the shelf of aisle one. And for the last 6 days, you can describe this as the week from hell for the Biden administration and quite possibly the demise of the Democrat Party. No matter which way they turn, they can't deny, they can't run, they can't hide. The truth always makes its way into the light. That's exactly what is happening right now in America. In many ways, it's further vindication about just how right the GOP has been on so many issues over the last 4 years. Labeled misinformation, disinformation, conspiracy theories, cheap fakes and deep fakes, it's no longer able to be contained by the Washington establishment or their lapdog media water boys and water girls. Tuesday, just yesterday, took another turn for the worse as more damning proof emerged on Joe Biden's day-by-day decline, as well as the backroom panic behind closed doors. First,
The footage. Yesterday, President Biden delivered a speech on extreme weather as the big guy spoke from the District of Columbia's Emergency Operations Center. The actions announced include heat safety training for the workplace and flood prevention efforts. Maybe Joe's hard drive overheated or was flooded because once again, the teleprompter defeated him. Listen and watch.
More people die from extreme heat than floods, hurricanes, and tornadoes combined. Say that again. Combined. More people die from heat than those three other major issues. And look, right.
Yes, say that again. Yes, Joe, say it again for emphasis. Just don't say it out loud. Stop giving away the secret to the sauce with your speeches, Joey. Come on. But it gets worse. Now we have Joe Biden saying things that literally make no sense to anyone with a functional brain. Listen and watch this.
We've invested billions to enhance our power grid, expand energy shortages so that lights, air conditioning, refrigeration, internet, stay on during heat waves, storms, and other climate changes.
So we are spending billions to have energy shortages? Is that what he said? Do we have a translator in the house? Anybody? No? All right. Well, let's move along. Then Joe does what he does best. Unite America. Bring our divided country together. Heal the fractures. I'm just kidding. He insults millions of Americans who question climate change, the impact, and the motive behind the money being spent and the restrictions being imposed on free Americans. Listen and watch this.
I quite frankly think it's not only outrageous, it's really stupid. Everyone who willfully denies the impacts of climate change is condemning the American people to a dangerous future and either is really, really dumb or has some other motive than that. How can you deny there's climate change, for God's sake?
The big guy must really hate Nick Kale because I plan on driving my truck up to the Lehigh Valley over the next couple of days, using a grill, eating red meat, shooting off fireworks tomorrow night, despite what the New York Times wishes. But let's move on to phase two of the big take. The backstage maneuvering as Dems scramble to save their horse in the race. First up, put Joe on stage and showcase him for the world to see yet again. That's right. President Biden will be taking part in his first interview since last Thursday's disastrous debate as he will sit down with ABC's George Stephanopoulos. It'll be Stephanopoulos and Bidenopoulos one-on-one in a hard-hitting Greek interview. According to The Hill, President Biden has, quote, agreed to sit for his first television interview that he has granted since last week's presidential debate. Now, the interview will air on ABC, and it'll be conducted by This Week and Good Morning America anchor George Stephanopoulos. Portions of the conversation will be aired on Friday, the network said, with the full extended interview airing Sunday on This Week with George Stephanopoulos and Monday on Good Morning America. The network did not preview what questions Biden will face or how long the interview will last. The sit-down comes as Biden faces intensifying questions about his age and mental fitness for office following a shaky performance during last week's presidential debate, which has sparked some calls for him to drop out of the race. Stephanopoulos has been the anchor of This Week for more than two decades and was previously a top advisor during the Clinton administration. Look, guys, George is a distinguished man of credibility. Actually, I'm kidding again. He was the man that did that clown show interview with Nancy Mace a while back, if you recall, that we discussed on this show when he continued to harass Nancy Mace and things got heated. But I would say Americans should take this interview in its entirety with extreme doubt and skepticism, because this interview should be live, not shown in a few clips on Friday and then aired on Sunday and Monday. And prayers up for the producers who will have a field day trying to get this ready and edit it for air. But that's just one element of the behind-the-scenes panic and scramble to salvage the sinking ship that is Biden. The New York Times has learned that Biden's team is mulling travel for him to Wisconsin and Pennsylvania later this week as Democrat governors discuss having a meeting with him following a call that they had among themselves Monday in which they express deep consternation about their lack of contact with Joe Biden. Translation, some of the highest, most powerful blue state governors can't even get in touch with the president, who, as we know, only works from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. But don't worry, governors, it's okay. You're in good hands. You're actually in the hands of Hunter Biden. Did you see this report? Hunter Biden is handling a lot of this. That's right. Hunter Biden has joined meetings with President Biden and his top aides this week at the White House. That, according to four sources familiar with the situation, that report courtesy of Ken Delanian of NBC News. It's gotten so bad, they've had to resort to a convicted felon crackhead son to help his aging, failing father. But remember, Joe said Hunter is a brilliant, brilliant man. Listen and watch this.
He's a grown man. He is the smartest man I know. I mean, in terms of pure intellectual capacity.
Yeah, I spent more time on my hands and knees picking through rugs, smoking anything that even remotely resembled crack cocaine. I probably smoked more Parmesan cheese than anyone, anyone that you know, I'm sure, Tracy.
Wow. I mean, this is literally a Hollywood movie where the plot twist has occurred, but there's no resolution in sight. Except this isn't a movie. This is real life in America, in the United States. This is Biden's week from hell, and this is the demise of the Democrats. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right, the big take this morning is brought to you by United Tire. If you drive a car and you want it to last and not cost you a ton in the long run, get your car to United Tire and Service. Visit one of their 10 locations throughout the Delaware Valley. Visit UnitedTire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. 855-839-1210 on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, in the YouTube chat, just go to YouTube.com/@1210WPHT. And hit the like and subscribe buttons. We'll get everybody's thoughts on what transpired with the big guy yesterday, the attempts to bail him out and save him in the 23rd hour, and also what's still ahead this morning, Kamala Harris. Is she ready to step up and take over? We're going to get to that conversation as the latest news is out. And, yeah, she's ready to break out now in year five, term two, if she gets that far. Back after this on Kale & Company.
It's Kale & Company on demand. From Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
We're going to get to Kamala Harris coming up in just a moment. But I want to get people's thoughts from, you know, what transpired yesterday. Dawn, I know you talked about Joe Biden and his concern and his little conversation that he was scheduled to have yesterday in the news when it comes to, you know, weather and climate change. And of course, we've had many conversations on this show about the way people like George Stephanopoulos, speak down to Republicans and prop up, Democrats. Your thoughts on the latest Biden gaffes and also this last ditch reclamation effort that we're going to get in dribs and drabs through a 4-day holiday weekend?
It was the heat. It was the extreme heat that it affects microphones.
It does.
I think that to make this, for him to say he wants to extend this workplace warning, and that I don't really understand, honestly, other than the fact that it's a news conference, it's a photo op, it's his opportunity to say, I care about you. But when he started going on about something about walking on the hot pavement, and it doesn't come off as presidential.
No.
It comes off as looking like it's a photo op, and just they're trying to make these public appearances to make everybody forget about last Thursday, but it's having the opposite effect.
Yeah, I agree. And then George Stephanopoulos is going to get this softball interview. I'm sure Sean Farish, that George will come out with the hard-hitting questions and put Joe right on the spot to show and illustrate that he is truly in cognitive decline.
Yeah, he's going to test him. You know, this is what I'm expecting from George Snuffleupagus, I think Mark Levin calls him. I wonder if Joe Biden will be Joe Bidenopoulos in this interview. I think you mentioned it in the big take that it'll be a hard-hitting Greek interview. Two Greek men.
Yep.
You know, I hear they can trace their lineage back to Odysseus and Achilles.
Yep.
Back into the Trojan War. These are two. I fought in the Trojan War when I was a young man. I saw dishes. We built a horse together, man. Like, that's the kind of stuff I think we're going to maybe see in this interview. I wouldn't be shocked. You can't trust. You can't trust George Stephanopoulos. I actually forgot his last name because there's so many nicknames. So you can't trust him to conduct a fair interview with Joe Biden. Come on. And I heard that it's not going to even run live. It's going to be like heavily edited or something. Obviously, it has to be because, yeah, remember Joe Biden's debate challenge to Trump? I hear you're free on Wednesdays. It was like 15 jump cuts in a 30-second clip.
Yep.
But he can't get through 2 seconds at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm expecting maybe the same thing with this Snuffleupagus interview.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Mr. Snuffleupagus.
God, this
Sesame
is
Street.
It is going to be so painful to sit through that. I mean, I don't know how many Americans, and think about this as well, the timing. And you know, you could have done this last Friday. You could have done this Monday or Tuesday. You're going to record this, and you know, I'm assuming right around the holiday. Who is actually going to be paying attention to the news media or any of these television shows the day after the 4th of July? I mean, you're going to have millions upon millions of Americans off on Friday, July 5th,
yes,
presumably hungover, sleeping in, up all night with firecrackers and fireworks.
Not that he's speaking personally.
Yeah, that's correct. Not that I will, you know, I will not indulge in a cocktail. I will not do anything American on the 4th of July. I don't want to trigger the New York Times. We need to rebrand our independence and our birthday, and it'll hold the whole shebang. And then you're going to have people that are probably going to the shore, people that are traveling, and this interview, now we'll chronicle it, we'll document it, and we'll break it down, and we'll talk about it on Monday, but I got to imagine they're just hoping that this thing is heavily edited, it makes him look very good, it was just one bad night, one off night, I had a cold, and most people won't even see this live on TV when it airs on Friday. I'm not even sure that some people will see it on Sunday because they'll still be checked out for the holiday weekend. You'll probably have whatever amount of Americans actually consume this interview, it'll probably be in a rebroadcast of it on Monday on Good Morning America, assuming people actually watch Good Morning America, which I think they do. Every time I go to a dentist or a doctor, Good Morning America is on, followed by The Stinkin' View. But I think those are the only places that air those two shows. So
The View is one of the worst shows. It's like one of the most insufferable. Like, if you ever needed information out of me, you could do two things, right? Like, if you think I'm withholding, this is a tip for the feds, okay? If you think I'm withholding information, you could do two things, and I will talk immediately. A, put me in bumper to bumper traffic on the Cross Bronx Expressway. I will sing like a canary if you get me out of the traffic. And two, sit me in front of a television screen in front of The View.
Yes.
Because there is nothing I despise more than watching that flock of livestock spout off for however long it is on television. You've got that is old McDonald had a farm right there. You've got cows, you've got pigs, you've got all sorts of animals on the screen that I just can't stand.
Yeah.
Whoopi Goldberg, Joy Behar, these are the most insufferable people
mm-hmm.
on the planet.
Yeah.
The View.
You're right.
How do they have a show?
I know. How have they survived this long? Especially in the Trump era of politics, where they legitimately have meltdowns at seemingly once a week over something he says or does.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just absolutely painful. This segment's brought to you by Budget Blind. Summer's a great time to brighten up the window treatments in your home. Visit budgetblinds.com for a free in-home consultation and the only no-questions-asked warranty in the business. All right, so let's get to Kamala Harris. This is not parody, by the way. I want to start with what Tim Ryan wrote for Newsweek, and then we're going to get to Kamala specifically and what her closest confidants are saying. And by the way, this is I swear this is not parody. I tweeted out the story. This is a legit headline. Tim Ryan writes for Newsweek, "We have to rip the Band-Aid off. Too much is at stake. Veep has significantly grown into her job. She will destroy Trump in a debate, highlight choice issue, energize our base, and bring back young voters and give us generational change. It's time." That is not an SNL headline. That's not a Babylon Bee story from their website. This is a guy named Tim Ryan writing for Newsweek that Kamala Harris is the one who should be next up. And she and of all of what I just read, he actually writes, and I guess he believes this, she will destroy Donald Trump in a debate. There's not a single human being roaming planet Earth that have seen Trump and Kamala Harris speak one sentence apiece that would arrive at the conclusion that she would dominate Donald Trump in a debate. Are you kidding me?
What?
I just tweeted. I tweeted out the story. It's written by Newsweek. I don't know who Tim Ryan is.
No, he used to be a politician. He was lying.
Oh, he's from
Tim
Ohio.
Ryan.
He's an Ohio guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he was. You know. Let me. I gotta do a little bit of research with Tim Ryan. But I think I know who that was. I think he was a senator. Oh, he was a senator, and I think Vance beat him.
Okay.
I think that's what happened.
Okay.
I think he was a Democrat, and I think I'm pretty sure. I'd have to go back and double check, yeah. Or if anybody's going to listen.
Right.
But I think Tim Ryan was a senator in Ohio. J.D. Vance beat him in the 2022 cycle. And Tim Ryan, when he found out that he was going to be running against Vance, started this because he's a leftist, right? Obviously, if he thinks Kamala Harris can beat Donald Trump in a debate, he's got to be a leftist, right?
Or insane.
So he was more. Which is the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, there is no difference. Yeah.
Yep.
Leftist definition, insane person. But you have, you had him kind of start running towards the center and like acting like he was this pro Trump or like this moderate Democrat when he's his voting record and things that he said like this would prove that that's not the case. And Vance smoked him.
Mm-hmm.
That's who Tim Ryan is. They called him Lion Tim Ryan in Ohio.
Okay. Makes sense. And now, a story from Yahoo. Kamala Harris worried that Democrats will replace Joe Biden with a white candidate. I want to just read you a couple of excerpts from this because this was so predictable. I wasn't the only one that said this, but we as a show and many of us that have a platform, Sean, others, I mean, we all said this was coming. If they try to jump Kamala Harris, they are going to scream racism. They are going to scream sexism. How dare you go above and beyond and over and around the vice president and find the next person? Again, to me, this is not about race or your gender. This is about competence. She is incompetent. She's in over her head. She has not shown one ounce of ability in this position, much less the ability to rise up and take over for the president of the United States. And her polling is terrible.
Mm.
And by the way, I don't think she resonates with the black community. Remember, she was a prosecutor in the Bay Area that made a living locking up people that were smoking weed. Okay, so I don't think she resonates with the community that she claims to represent. But Yahoo writes, Kamala Harris's team is concerned that Democrats will install a white candidate ahead of her to replace Joe Biden, arguing that it would be offensive to black voters to overlook her should she be the president. However, allies of Ms. Harris are frustrated that she has largely been excluded from the list of possible replacements, arguing that it would be offensive to overlook a black woman for the job. Gavin Newsom and Gretchen Whitmer have been at the center of speculation about a replacement nominee. Quote, the fact that people keep coming back to this is so offensive to so many of us, an ally of Ms. Harris told Politico. Quote, they still don't get the message you're saying to black people, to the Democratic Party, is that we prefer a white person. Another source said, quote, if they think they are going to get through South Carolina bashing an effective and qualified black woman vice president, their instincts are as bad as I thought they were. It's not about replacing a black female. It's about finding a competent successor. But here we go again, Dawn and Sean. They're playing the victim card, and we saw this coming months and months and months ago.
Yeah,
I am so happy to see this like Frankenstein boomerang like cannibalism going on the left right now, like Uncle Brozy level cannibalism right now. You have imposed this crap on us for years. Oh, if you don't have this diversity quota met, you're going to lose your ESG score and people are going to boycott you and we're going to take your sponsors away and you're going to get, you know, you're going to be branded a racist. And now it's literally happening to them, you know, where they're like, oh, well, this person could step in. Oh, that's a white dude or a white woman. You think Kamala Harris and the progressive wing of the Democrat Party is going to be okay with that? Are you kidding me? And so now you're finding out that they're melting down over the thought that there could be somebody who doesn't check as many diversity boxes as Kamala Harris. You know, I mean, would she be okay if what was her name? The Lori Lightfoot, short, fat, gay, ugly, ineffective mayor of Chicago. She checks more boxes than Kamala Harris, right? Kamala Harris isn't gay. She is ugly. She's not short and she's ineffective. So like that's 4-2 in favor of Lori Lightfoot. Maybe that would be the only acceptable, you know, replacement for Kamala Harris, someone who checks off more of the boxes. Yeah. I think this is great. What have we done to deserve this amazing? It's almost like all of it was worth it, with exception to, you know, the treatment of the J6ers and the political prisoners, Bannon, Navarro, et cetera. And, you know, the folks who had all these issues with the vaccine, whether it's medical issues or, you know, getting fired from your job. Everything else is worth it to watch the Democrats eating themselves right now. This has actually been very amusing.
Don, do they have to replace Kamala with another, replace Biden? If they don't go Kamala, do they have to calm the base down? Do they have to go with at least a female, if not a black female? Is this Gretchen Whitmer's job to lose? This is why everybody brought up, I think, Michelle Obama, because then you can't claim sexism or racism, and you can also claim she's more likable than Kamala Harris, but we know she wants no part of it.
I think Kamala Harris, the vice president, I think Tim Ryan's right that she has significantly grown into her job, and we should celebrate her and unburden ourselves, or whatever the statement was with unburdening, unseeing. I just think we should embrace this and say,
oh, yes,
she's the one.
Yes.
Yeah. And
she's the one. She's the chosen one.
She's the chosen one.
She's Anakin Skywalker.
Yes.
And no, or Darth Vader.
Every Trump supporter and Republican voter under the sun should be like, yeah, go with Kamala.
How dare you?
I'm all about it.
Yes.
I'm all about it. You want to nominate her? I'm not standing in your way.
That's right.
Just you go right ahead and do it. By the way, I double checked the Tim Ryan. He was a congressman from 2021 to 2023. Senator, yeah. And then ran for Senate and lost to J.D. Vance.
Unbelievable. So. All right. 855-839-1210. On the other side, before we wrap up the hour, I got to play you this clip. This was Stephen A. Smith delving into politics on his YouTube show, where he had a African-American female delegate from California who goes scorched earth. And as we've been saying, live by DEI, die by DEI. You're going to hear from one direct source that says Democrats will never recover if they basically ditch Kamala Harris. We're going to get to that on the other side. It's Kale and Company. We're back after this. But first, let me tell you about my friends with families behind the badge. Hopefully, you will join me again in supporting the Bend to the Shore Bike Tour. It's coming up. It's Sunday, July 21st, and you've got a couple of options here. You can ride 65 miles from Philly to AC or 30 miles from Hamilton to the shore. And there's a family-friendly celebration at the Showboat Hotel after the ride. You can even register to ride with me and Team 1210. Just go to ben2shore.org. That's ben2shore.org. And they're going to take $25 off your registration fee if you use the promo code NICK1210. That's ben2shore.org. We are very close, by the way, to our $15,000 goal. I think we're just a couple hundred dollars away. So if you haven't made a donation yet for this great cause, please do before the 4th of July holiday. Let's show everybody how WPHT and Odyssey supports law enforcement. FBBCF provides financial relief for the families of fallen and injured first responders, and they, of course, support the Police Youth Alliance, which fosters a positive relationship between police and youth.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Don will have some news to kick off hour number two in just a couple of minutes. And then we're going to get to the Trump sentencing delay, which has been pushed back yesterday all the way to September 18th. We'll break that down. And also Bill Maher now saying, you know what, Joe Biden's not the guy and I've got the better solution. We'll get to that before we get to what is on the cut sheet. But just to quickly to wrap up the hour, and also that scalding commentary from Stephen A. Smith about replacing Kamala Harris and having her leapfrogged by a white man. Big shout out to Elise, who made a donation during the break. Elise made a $50 donation.
Oh, wow.
And I just want to give an update. Here's where we are, folks. We're only $576 away. $576 away from our $15,000 goal. We are sitting at $14,424.67. That is 96% of our goal. So if we could, I feel like Stalker here, shilling for money and likes and subscribes and, you know, all
this
the buttons.
It's for a good cause.
It's for a great cause, for our bike ride and Families Behind the Badge. If we could get another $576 before we sign off at 10 a.m. this morning and go into the 4th of July break, that would be tremendous. Our goal for the before the ride is $20,000. We've hit every benchmark along the way. So if you can donate, whether it's one person making a big donation of $576 or a bunch of $50 donations here, that would be great. Ben2Shore.org, or, of course, the alternative website, which everybody believes, GregStalkerSucks.com. Mm-hmm. GregStalkerSucks.com. All right, we'll come back. Go ahead, Sean.
No, he's got a new website every day.
It's unbelievable.
It's Kevin, right?
Yes.
It's every day. I think Juan Merchan Sucks was trending yesterday.
EverybodySucks.com is Kevin Pohl's whole MO.
I can't wait till I get my own. It's going to be great. I'm like, I feel left out.
SeanFarishSucks.com. There you go. All right, we'll kick off hour number two of the news with Dawn. When we come back, 7 o'clock hour is upon us. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.